Welcome to VFN Radio. I am your host, Greg Lancaster, and it is Friday. For everybody down south, that is fried everything. For everybody on the West Coast, that is fried sushi. No, not fried sushi, raw sushi.
Raw. Ah.
Everybody up north, everything, every block, anything you want. You're listening to VFN Radio. Joining me this Friday to encourage you, got some great things we're going to share with you, is Pat Hamilton, the producer of VFN Radio program.
Hello, hello.
And the one who lives on the outskirts of Sodom and, no, of 15 minutes outside the city, camping right near the city. For God, reaching people before the Lord, he said, John Ramos.
Good morning, good morning, good morning.
Good morning. I tell you what, don't take a subway down south. Well, I guess you could, as long as it's with turkey and bacon. But it has a whole different meaning up north, doesn't it? Give a shout out to all of our new audience members. You just keep coming in and sitting down and joining the VFN Radio audience. We are so glad to have you. Carrie, welcome. Angel, welcome. Obviously, that's not your real name, but it is you joining us there. Amy and Catherine and Cleon and Alex and John and Steven and Russell and Bree. Roger, John, Harry, Todd, Brian, Sherry, Jeff, Josephine, Julian, Susan, so many I can't even name them all. Welcome to VFN Radio audience, the most lit up, on fire, on the edge for our God audience, preparing to fill stadiums that roar, Jesus is Lord. Well, thank you for everybody's going and checking out the VFN Torch. Don't forget, you go to VFNTV.com, and there's over 1,000 different topics. Listen, you got questions, the Torch has answers. Go to VFNTV.com, click on VFN Torch, and everything, all the way from Islam to don't worry, stay on the right side of the butt, moments of wisdom, programs, I mean, anything, just go in there and just search. You got a word, you got a concern, type it in. And see what comes up. Maybe there's something there for you. You're listening to VFN Radio's first hour. Give a shout out to the Northeast out there. Good morning, Toys R Us. 30% off, I hear, on the second toy. Everybody's pushing hard out there. Good morning, Texas. You're listening to VFN Radio. Well, I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me this wonderful day, Friday. Matter of fact, I was talking to Steve.
Friday.
I was talking to Steve, you know, not from the South, last night. Awesome things are happening in Pittsburgh. And I'm thinking, dude, you sound more Southern than we do. I mean, he's got it. Hopefully he'll be on.
Yeah,
you know,
he's been converted.
He's definitely been converted. And he's also going to be recording some Pittsburgh E's for us. So we're going to be able to hear some of the talking up there, whatever how it is. And but joining me this morning, of course, is Pat Hamilton.
Hello.
And Juan. Good morning. Good morning,
hola,
John Paul.
Hola, ¿cómo está?
Muy bien. Yeah. And, you know, that's as far as I got. I passed the first test in Spanish. And the second one, you know, they had Google, right? That translator is something, isn't it?
Oh, my goodness, is it?
I'm telling you what. It's totally amazing. It looks like where, you know, when you think about in the beginning when, you know, man started going their own way, the fall in the garden. Of course, it ended up with Nimrod, some people that, you know, Pat had studied early on in his walk, I think two hours into his walk, the beginning of time, and Nephilim. And all that. That, you know, they were going to build a tower. They were going to build a Trump Tower. No, they were going to build a tower because, you know, they were going to build it all the way to heaven. That's what they were talking about. Mm-hmm. You know, man's always trying to build higher than the next one and the next tallest building. And a lot of our tallest buildings in the world is nothing but men's pride competing, you know. Mm-hmm. If it can't be bigger or taller, it'll be supposed to be plusher or nicer. With that, God says specifically, we need to just go down there and check this out, you know, send somebody down there because they got one vision, one direction that they're going to accomplish because we're creating the image and the likeness of God. Mm-hmm. Even a fool can accomplish his folly, even though all will end, that will all end in hell. I mean, we have this great ability to create. Mm-hmm. And we can create good or we can create bad. And so they said, listen, you know, it's happening. It's what's going on. They're building it. And he says, well, go down there and I want you to go and just confuse their language. I want, you know, all of a sudden I want people to speak like different languages, whatever those instantly just poured out and God just changed people's mindset. And all of a sudden they begin to speak different languages. And when you can't communicate, I mean, anybody that's married knows that you got to practice in your communication skills, right? Just a marriage. Imagine what a nation is like or a group of people that all of a sudden you're just kind of like signing to them or, you know, somebody looks at you and they're speaking Russian, you know, mm-hmm. and you're American, so you can sometimes barely speak English. And somebody from Lubbock, Texas sent something about that. Got to find that. But he talks about if you speak three languages, this is probably you. If you speak one language, this is probably you. If you speak only one language, you're probably American, right? And of course, that's not true of all Americans, but the majority of them. Mm-hmm. And so he confused all the language. And what happened was it breaks men. When men can't communicate, it stops men's plans.
Mm-hmm.
And so, of course, men are always attempting, how can we break this God code? You know, that he put a lockdown on the ability of men to really stay together a long period of time to be able to accomplish evil goals.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny how, you know, you can always hang in there and realize, even though it looks like the evil man's going to make it, eventually he's going to turn in on himself because mm-hmm. his whole people under him are going to get prideful and want to take over and just all those different things that happen. And it won't last long. There'll be a common goal for a while, and then the whole caliphate will turn in on itself. Anyway, so, but so of course Google now has a translator that actually takes, you know, you're sitting here talking to anybody in the world to a language you never spoke before, mm-hmm. and you just take their text, what they emailed to you, or they're chatting with you, and it automatically you pick the language that they are and the language you are, and it just comes into, you know, enough interpretation to know what they're talking about. And that's an amazing thing.
Mm-hmm. Very amazing.
That's an amazing thing. But that's man's attempt, and it's still flawed, and it's still, mm-hmm. you know, because even we don't even know the definitions of our own words. So you can imagine when two different, you know, people are talking. But then let me tell you about this. But there was a day that when Jesus's ministry was finished on earth and he started ascending slowly up and going towards the Father, and they're looking at him, and he says, you know, as he's going, some angels appear and they say, well, you know, what are you doing here looking up? This same Jesus that's left is going to come again. And he told them to all gather in a particular place, upper room, and he talks about it in Acts. But what happened in Acts, is the birth of the church in the beginning of the book of Acts, what was blown up in the Tower of Babel, the inability for men to understand each other, mm-hmm. when the church was birthed, and Acts, in the beginning of the Acts, means the Acts of the church, is the freshest look at the church and it's operating, mm-hmm. is that all of a sudden, through the same God that confused the language in the beginning, now the Holy Spirit filled men and they began to speak in other tongues that other men begin to understand them. They were speaking in tongues they didn't even know about, another language, languages they didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden people, because everybody was gathered from all around the world, you know, different nations there to be able to worship. And so they're hearing their own language. And so it's like, wow, the confusion that came out of the pride of men, the Tower of Babel and Babylon and all these things you're hearing. That's where all that comes from. The Babylonian captivity, you know, men end up in Babylonian captivity when they actually start moving in pride and all that stuff. But the birth of the church was that God fixed Babylon. He fixed it.
Mm-hmm.
The church fixes it. When you give your life to God, he will fix what happened years and years and thousands of years ago, because when you give your life and your heart to God, he has the ability, no matter where you are in the world, when you find another brother or sister in the Lord, I mean, you don't never seen each other day in your life, but just not even saying a word.
Mm.
you're just radiating the same language, and you're so glad to be together because it's the same God that's in you is the same God that's in him and her. It's just an awesome thing. Mm-hmm. I remember ministering in Denmark, and, you know, I didn't speak, obviously, Danish, and very interesting language. And we were all over Denmark.
What does it sound like?
What's that?
What does it sound like?
Iski, buski, luski, diski. Grown folk, like MMA wrestlers, kind of go, and it's just like, it just like throws you off. It's like they're talking, and then they go, you're going like, oh, check, check. Anyway, but we were just in love with Jesus. We were ministering, praying for them, and they're writing all about it in Danish in their papers and all that. But even though we didn't speak the Danish language, we spoke the language of God, which is love and a desire for Jesus. And that's what we had in common. So, you know, the confusion that happened at the Tower of Babel was fixed at the birth of the church. So I want to encourage you that if you're living a life that just seems like nobody understands you and you don't understand anybody, that's really a self-focus. I mean, you're really focused on yourself, believe it or not. And when you just go to God and say, you know what, I'm ready to fix all this confused language and communication in my life. I'm going to give my life to Jesus. I want the church to be birthed in me. I want Jesus to be birthed in me. I want to accept the Lord today, just like they did in the book of Acts. And I want to be able to talk to people where they understand. And I want to be able to understand what people are saying. And that'll happen when your mind's no longer blinded by the God of this world. And the blinders are off your eyes. Because the second you are born again, you see, you understand, you can see clearly. As we were sharing yesterday, when Pat was sharing his testimony about the Brownsville outpouring, the second he got saved, he knew what sin was, even though he hadn't read anything about sin. And everywhere he looked, there was sin. He was a bad man. He was a very bad man. And he ended up in a closet eating tuna fish and crackers, but we'll talk more about that in the future. Right?
Yep, sure did.
I'm telling you.
Can't wait to hear that.
I'm telling you. And so I want to encourage you, realize that when you hear about Babylon and you hear about Babylonian captivity and you hear about Nebuchadnezzar, this is all that whole lineage of all what started with building a tower that ended up in confusion. And confusion's fixed. God is a God of order, and he's not a God of confusion. And the devil is the one who likes to confuse and bring chaos. You know, you'll find somebody that's, they may be religious, but they're bound by the devil, or they're somebody who's in the world that's bound by the devil. And how they get things to go their way is they walk in talking 10,000 words a minute, saying nothing, putting a huge cloud of chaos and confusion. It's like, Tower of Babel, Tower of Babel, Tower of Babel. And then all of a sudden, while your head's spinning, if you don't understand or discern this, they turn it. They turn the ship, they turn the car, they turn the ministry, they turn the workplace, they turn the relationship, they turn the marriage, they turn the family. And it's like, you have to understand that when confusion comes in, that it's to stop things, to turn things. And God's got a peace and order. I mean, look at Jesus when he talks about, look at the rocks, look at the thorns, look at the sea, look at the water, look at the children. I mean, it's not that complicated. The simplicity of the gospel. It's not simple, but it's simple to understand. You know, it's a huge price that was paid, but it's just powerful. You know,
we're babbling.
You're babbling. There's a lot of babbling. A lot. And, you know, we're 5 days today from Christmas, the birth of our Lord and Savior, the day that we celebrate the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I just want to ask one thing. Have you guys gotten my Christmas gift yet? Okay, we'll move on. I can't believe that.
It's in the mail.
Jiminy crickets. Okay, I'm taking yours back. I'm just taking it back. Bringing the truck in. Move that thing out of there. No, you know, of course, that would just be, I'm just, you know, why not? Well, I do want to say for all the people out there that was preparing for doomsday today, that this is the day that the Mayan calendar, they ran out of ink and their calendar ended and you were buying all kinds of things to prepare because you thought some Mayan folks who were killing their own people and sacrificing them on top of temples on these towers, you know, of Babels. Anyway. That the world was going to end today. And yes, you know, but I just want to encourage you, first of all, that whether the world ends or not, there'll be a day that your life ends and you want to be prepared for that. Mm-hmm. You know, no man's promised tomorrow. The question is, if it did end today, where would you be? It's appointed once for men to die and then the judgment. But the thing is, Jesus died so that you can have eternal life. He'll forgive any sin that's ever done in your life, and he will make you right before God. Will you have eternal life with him? So there's just to say, hey, if you did die today, if a flood came, if a mountain fell on you, if a star hit the earth, you know, if your cable package went, I don't know. You know, if you died, mm-hmm. okay, death is death, right? The question mm-hmm. is, where would you be when you died? Yeah, we shared our stories, some of our stories, a few of us, kind of give you a perspective of how we met God through his son, Jesus Christ. You can go to meetmyfather.org and read them. And it also will lead you, hey, you want to meet you? It'll just walk you right through how to make Jesus the Lord of your life. Because today's a good day to really think about, you know, what if the world did end? But I do want to tell you this. It's going to be a day. It's going to be a day. And imagine, you ever seen, or you're looking at somebody and there's bright lights going on and you kind of see like a little glare in their eye or a little twinkle in their eye. I mean, kind of, it's there and it's gone. Well, that's what it's going to be like when Jesus comes back. He says that it will be like a twinkling of an eye. Mm-hmm. And we're getting close based on my understanding in my spirit. I just feel this in my spirit, that the end of this age, not the end of the world, but the end of this age, mm-hmm. maybe it's the dispensation of grace, but it's ever how things were and have been, is coming to an abrupt halt. It's like suddenly it's just going to bam, mm-hmm. and we're going to be in a different age, you know, whatever mm-hmm. that is.
Right.
And, you know, somebody's 1 year old, you know, what's their age? They're one. Well, they're a different age when they're two. So they're no longer mm-hmm. one anymore. So you progress and things happen. But I feel like we're coming to the end of an age. And with that, you have a lot of, you know, men just know because he says that he wrote on all men's hearts his words and his law. So we just intrinsically know when something's wrong, but we don't know what to do with it if we don't know God, if we don't know Jesus, if we're not walking with him. And so you'll find, it's like, how does Hollywood know this? And how did Bubba know that? To go prepare, and you know, so you're thinking, how the thing is that he says, I wrote my law on their heart, so men without excuse, everybody knows, no longer on some tablet hidden somewhere in the Moses tabernacle, it's on men's hearts. So you'll see people who don't know God, who may have rejected God, doing something that kind of looks like a good idea, you know, because they're something intrinsically is telling them something's not right.
Right, mm-hmm.
But it's going to lead them to know, it's not going to lead them to salvation, because the only way to salvation is through Jesus Christ. And I want to encourage you, if you haven't yet, you know, go to meetmyfather.org, meetmyfather.org, and find out how we met him. So it doesn't matter whether you have a big pile of beans or not. If the world ends today or tomorrow, you know where you will be. We'll be right back. Pat, isn't abiding with the Lord just an awesome thing to be able to do?
Oh, yeah, it's wonderful.
I mean, talk to us, man. How has that affected your life?
Well, it's just changed it. I mean, for years, I struggled with that, you know, spending time with God in regards to, you know, hearing his voice. But when God introduced me to abiding and, you know, and journaling and hearing what he's saying and writing it down, it's been life transforming. I mean, I can hear him clearly, and it's beautiful. And, you know, it's just a wonderful thing.
It's so cool, isn't it, to know that you're hearing the voice of God?
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And he says that, you know, his sheep will hear his voice and follow none other.
That's right.
That's so important, isn't it?
It's just amazing. And he knows exactly what you're going through at that particular time in your life. And it's just amazing where he leads you.
Right.
You know, you think you did it.
Right.
You know, when you open up the scriptures and there it is. And like, wow. Wow, God, that was awesome.
This is cool, too, that by doing it, you begin to be faithful, that all of a sudden your whole family now abides with God and by alone with God, mm-hmm. and you all even come together and share about it, right?
That's right. Yeah, we sure do. We all come together at the same time every week, get together as a family, my wife, my two children, and we talk about what God said to us that week.
Does God speak to everybody in your family?
Every one of them, yep.
And what's their ages? With the children.
Yeah. Yeah, right. My 10-year-old son, my 14-year-old daughter.
Right. Isn't that awesome, though,
yeah.
to know that God is speaking to your whole family?
Yeah.
You're out there, you're listening right now, you're thinking, man, I didn't think that was possible. I thought you had some lesson plan or something. You had some little study guide or something. I didn't know that you can have a simple plan that even a 10-year-old can do and hear from God, hear the voice of God. Listen, we're called to hear his voice.
If you don't have a plan, we have a simple plan for you. It's available at iabide.org. It's free. Request it today. Go to iabide.org. Request your plan. It'll be sent to you immediately in your email. iabide.org.
You know, Pat, the great thing about VFN Radio is that you can take it on the go with you. You can do that now with the VFN Radio app. No matter where you're at, you can continue to enjoy VFN Radio on the go. You can search for prophetic words, wisdom moments, and it's right there available. All you have to do is go to your search in your Google Play or your iPhone App Store. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah, it's totally amazing.
Total download, free, doesn't cost you anything. Get the app today. Go to Android or iPhone, Google Play or iPhone app, and search VFN TV and download. Free, doesn't cost you a thing, and take VFN Radio on the go.
Every single weekend, starting at 9 a.m. Central Time, all going all the way to Monday morning at 9 a.m. when the live program starts, every single weekend we have Marathon Weekend. What is that? That's every program that was live throughout that week plays back to back. Back to back. Marathon Weekend. You got to get it.
I don't know if y'all heard about the shoebox dreams that Samaritan Purse started about getting Christmas gifts to children in other countries in the world that Billy Graham, Franklin Graham, started, where people, you just sit there and basically put gifts and things and ideas into a shoebox, and you wrap it up and you send it to Samaritan Purse, and they take these boxes of gifts and deliver them all around the world to people who never would have had a gift.
Mm.
They just delivered their 100th million. 100 million.
Oh, wow.
100 million.
That's a lot.
Box. Listen up.
And welcome back to the show. For 20 years, gift-filled shoeboxes have brought joy and hope to millions of children around the world at Christmas time. Now, one shoebox from Wisconsin traveled to the Dominican Republic to mark a milestone.
Hi, my name is Evelyn, and I'm 12 years old.
This is the story of a young girl from a small town in Wisconsin with a big dream.
I've wanted to help the poor for a really long time. I was praying for it since I was 6 years old that I would be able to help the poor.
Evelyn Pino's prayer was answered when she heard about Operation Christmas Child, an outreach headed by Franklin Graham, elder son of evangelist Billy Graham. The idea, fill shoeboxes with gifts and deliver them to needy children around the world.
You wouldn't think that a simple gift like this could have that kind of impact. But for kids that are in orphanages, kids that are in poverty, kids that are living in dumps, kids that are in areas of conflict, war, to give them a gift, to let them know that there's somebody that knows who they are and cares about them and loves them.
Evelyn was that somebody. She started the Shoebox Club at age 8. It began small, but grew quickly. Around 80 kids meet each month now to pack shoeboxes.
We've been running for 4 years. In those 4 years, we have packed 2,500 shoeboxes. I want to help kids because I want them to be able to feel loved and know about Jesus, like I do. Kids helping kids around the world, that's my motto.
You see, her shoeboxes represent millions of lives touched by a simple act of kindness. 10 million shoeboxes will be hand-delivered this year by land, air, sea, trucks, boats, trains, and even elephants. In December, the project reached a milestone, delivering shoeboxes to more than 100 million children since starting in 1993.
What a great reason to celebrate today!
Inspired by her passion for helping the poor, 12-year-old Evelyn Pino was picked by Operation Christmas Child to hand-deliver the symbolic 100 millionth shoebox to a young child in the Dominican Republic.
Here, guys, do you need help over here?
She turned to her friends at the Shoebox Club for help in putting the 100 millionth box together. They decorated it with a white paper covered with handprints from all the children serving in the group.
Thanks, everyone. I couldn't have done it without you guys.
Then for several weeks,
I love you. I'm proud of you.
Love you, Daddy.
You're so awesome, sweetie.
Thanks, Dad.
She crisscrossed the country, taking the special shoebox on tour.
This is actually Operation Christmas Child's 100 million shoebox, and we're going to need all of your guys' help to pack shoeboxes.
At each stop, people put different mementos in the box. Then on a recent Wednesday morning...
The last time we were sitting in a car traveling through a city, we were in New York, dreaming about this moment, and now we're finally here. Are you so overwhelmed?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Practicing my Spanish.
Thousands of miles from her home in Fort Atkinson, Wisconsin.
Wow, finally here.
Evelyn's prayer of helping needy children was answered.
Tres, dos, uno.
Well, it's a simple box with simple toys. In this particular box is a stuffed animal, some tissues, hygiene material, a book. But you know, for Samaritan's Purse and Operation Christmas Child, a simple box with a powerful message. Each box delivered to these kids in the name of Jesus Christ. At each distribution, the gospel is shared, and children are given the opportunity to learn more about Christ through a 12-week discipleship program.
God can do anything, and if you believe that God can do anything with you, then anything can happen. I am finally here in the Dominican Republic. I finally get to be able to go and deliver this box to a little girl.
In a small village in the Dominican Republic, Evelyn met 5-year-old Brenda Valdez.
What's this?
And handed her the special shoebox filled with toys, school supplies, and a pink children's Bible.
Nunca se un regalo como esto.
It's in the bottom.
The two girls spent time going through the presents. One special item was a heart-shaped necklace with the words, "Best Friends Forever." Brenda broke it in two, giving one half of the necklace to Evelyn as a reminder of their special bond.
Tengo una amiga más.
In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
George Thomas, CBN News, in the Dominican Republic.
That is so awesome. I mean, that's what Christmas is all about, the gift that God has given us. And when we give gifts, it reminds us that on Christmas Day, the birth of Christ, that was the day that God gave us the gift of salvation, the gift of right standing with God, the gift of righteousness through our belief and faith in Jesus Christ. And so we're given these gifts, which is powerful. I want to encourage you, you know, you can see that video, of course, at CBN News. You also can see it on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com. And I encourage you to connect with Franklin Graham and Samaritan's Purse throughout the entire year. You know, we connected with them and Hurricane Sandy. They've been up there giving specific aid and help, but also love, the love of God. And in addition to what they're doing, that they were doing this help in the name of God. We're not just throwing something we're helping out. But I just encourage you, how easy is that to take a shoebox? And there's some people out there that have so many shoes. You see, this is a good commitment. This is a good commitment. Lord, if you let me have all these shoes, I promise to take all those shoeboxes and fill them with gifts for others who don't have anything, and I will get them to Franklin Graham. And of course, the husband's going, stop buying shoes, it's going to cost me twice. Or the wife's saying, there's a lot of guys, you know, in this city that like a lot of pair of shoes and all that. I'm not going to mention
Pat with all his sneakers.
Yeah, at least one. No, we think about it. You know, it's so easy to do. I mean, check it out. Go to Billy Graham. org, you know, Billy Graham Ministries. Franklin's heading that up now. And if you haven't got a chance to read Franklin's autobiography, I encourage you to read it. It'll encourage you if you're seeking God, and maybe you had a parent or family that's been walking with God, and you've been kind of that rebel, that's exactly who Franklin was. But one day God got a hold of him, and he knew that if he did not make a decision at that point, it was going to be over for him. And, you know, the Spirit of God will not always contend with you. And it just, you know, it just touched his heart. You know, God just melted his heart, and he gave his life to God. And now he's just doing this awesome work that it just explains how Samaritan Purse came to pass in his autobiography called The Rebel or something of that nature. But here you had his father preaching in stadiums. While he liked to go with his dad because he would stay in the hotel room and sin. you know, smoke cigarettes or whatever. Just, you know, he was just, you know, a hellion. You know, he was a hellion, and that's who we all were. I mean, Pat was more of a hellion than us. And John was an organized hellion. He was an organized hellion.
No.
He did it in order. He did it in order. Anyway, wants to write in and tell us how kind of order he did.
Yeah, right.
No. They're coming in. Look at these IMs coming from everywhere. And Chris would just wrote it on himself. Could you write that on my arm? Well, we're going to be talking about continually, you know, remembering the wonders of the Lord. We're going to be talking about what God poured his love out in such a powerful way at 3100 West DeSoto Street in Pensacola, Florida, at a church named Brownsville Assembly of God, which was being pastored at the time by Brother John Kilpatrick. And we talked about it yesterday. We're going to continue. So just look for, you know, remembering the wonders of the Lord. We're just going to continue to share them. And we have so many things that we want to share. It'll encourage you. And I believe, this is what I'm believing, 2013 is going to be, you know, what we've seen with Dowie and Mariah Etter and Amy Sylvia McPherson and individual people, Steve Hill, Billy Graham, Oral Roberts, and you can name individuals, you know, Charles Seymour with the Azusa Street Revival. Africa, we're talking about number three guy. He says,
Reinhard
Bonnke. And those are your individuals. Now imagine, I believe from this point on, it's going to be all of that on steroids. It's going to be all of that because God's going to pour out his spirit on all flesh. And it's time for us to learn to be the church and allow God to pour himself out on us and spend time with him so we, the entire church, begins to move because he says these signs will follow those who believe. We're not supposed to follow signs, but what happens is, and what we're talking about, the outpouring that took place at Brownsville, which is totally awesome and totally God, that everybody ran to this. But the thing is, what do we do after that? When we got this infilling, when we got this touch from God, I mean, did God just come to give us a spiritual jacuzzi, or did God want us to dedicate our life, the last bit of life we had left on the earth from that point on, to him and his presence and telling everybody about him? And many have, and many didn't. I remember that, you know, BRSM, it was just Brownsville Bible School of Ministries, filled with a lot of wonderful people going after God. And it was, but there was, you know, where are they? You know, where are these men? Where are these women? I know that John is a graduate from BRSM, and I know a few others out there that are. And, but it's listen, you are called, the same Jesus that's in the man or the woman, the believer next to you, is the same Jesus that's in you.
That's
the
right.
Same Bible and the expectations that applies to Oral Roberts or Steve Hill or Brother John Kilpatrick or Reinhard Bonnke or Billy Graham or Franklin Graham. Listen, those same God expectations are of you, you know, but God will do everything, maybe plus more in you than he did in all of them combined if you believe him, because God will, this is what John G. Lake said, you know, which is another man that was used powerfully by God, started with 5,000 churches in Africa, that disease would die in his hand.
Wow.
That he said, God will step over a million people to go be with one man who will believe him. And, you know, that's the truth. You just got to believe God. You got to step out. He says, if God has told you to do something, step out in bold faith and he'll meet you there every time. So, hey, you step out in bold faith and God doesn't meet you there. It's like, wow, I thought that was God. And then you go, you're not trying to, you don't care what men think. You just want to follow God. I mean, there's plenty of times that we do that, but you have to be willing to step out in bold faith. And if it's God, and he actually went all the way to Africa with no money in his family, and it took like $75 to get off the boat or something like that. And while he was there, because God called him there, so he stepped out in bold faith. And standing in a line, leaving the boat, as he had to pay the whatever, $75, whatever it was, God spoke to somebody in that line that didn't even know him and walked up and gave him the money. And in that seemingly $75, what's that? 5,000 churches were started, and we're not talking about 5,000 stucco buildings with $1.3 million per baptized believer.
Right.
We're talking about gatherings started all over Africa. That's huge.
Yeah.
Huge.
You know, you think about was it Amy something McPherson that traveled in a you know, imagine a car with no shocks, you know, traveling with a tent and yeah. traveling across America, where of course there is no air conditioning. There is no, I mean, you're hot. You're camping along the side of the street. You're mm-hmm. stopping these little things that people do for vacations. They were doing it for God.
Yeah.
I think about Catherine Coolblum spent the night in a chicken coop.
Oh,
you know, and just trying to get to the next place to tell somebody about Jesus. And when Amy would finish her ministry there, four or five churches would birth. No, I'm not talking about $3 million, you know, stucco complex would take a left wing here. I'm not talking about people who got on fire for God and began to gather and say, listen, I found God. Let's talk about him. Let's dedicate ourselves to the apostles' teaching. And it just happens. Believers begin to gather. And it's time. It's the 2000. Listen, 2013. You know, lift up your eyes. You know, our Lord is the light of the Lord's salvation is going to shine like never before. It's time to believe God. You tried everything that you can imagine, and it didn't satisfy you. You know, it was always lingering out there, and you thought, oh, well, I got to have this. If I have God, I don't have that. But so listen, it's time for you to know and face the facts that only God satisfies. And I'm telling you, when we start sharing more with you. About our experiences, that there's nothing like the presence of God. There's a reason why we're serving him, because right. he is so awesome, and his presence, it just fulfills every desire that you could possibly ever have. And in that, you don't look for anything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't for any, and that's why Paul said, listen, you know, if you're not married, don't be. And if you are married, live like you're not.
Mm-hmm.
That blows the American concept away. He's like, listen, it's not about you. It's about Jesus.
That's right.
You know, and it's just very exciting. We'll be talking, you know, more about that. But get your eyes off of Washington. Get your eyes off this little bump in the road called the fiscal cliff, because other things are going bigger than that. But just mm-hmm. just encourage yourself, turn it off, and turn your eyes to Jesus and say, okay, I'm ready. I'm ready, Lord. I want to, and begin to just prepare yourself, you know, say, God, give me a hunger. You know, I want to go after you. I want your presence. What they're talking about on VFN radio, what they're experiencing in their churches, in the VFN churches. That's what I want in my life. I want that in our church. I want that in our gathering. I want that. God, I want your presence. I want that. Listen, believe me, as you hear, you're going to get hungrier and hungrier for God, and you're going to go right into 2013 just full of the Lord. We'll be right back.
You may be joining us today, and you're searching. You're searching to know God. Well, I want to encourage you. He's searching for you. You know, a couple of us have put our stories out available so that you can be able to connect with Father God through His Son, Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to go to meetmyfather.org. And when you go there, you'll see a bunch of our stories. And we try to share, not all of it, but some of what God has done in our own personal lives. Listen, coming to God and coming to the Father is not as hard as religious made it out to be. He's a real loving Father who loves you, who sent His Son so that you can have a relationship with Him. Go to meetmyfather.org, and you can read some of our stories.
I think about that Promise Keepers, when Coach mm-hmm. McCartney began, you know, God touched his heart, and he began to share with his friend about, we just got to get men together, and we got to get
right.
people together. And two men, one man, then two men, then 40 men, as they began to do this and build small groups of men around America—
Mm-hmm.
Then eventually that filled stadiums, but the stadiums weren't filled because Coach McCartney had an idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was because God wanted to begin to get men in small groups and begin to show them himself. And so that happened. Mm-hmm. But the problem is when it came out of the stadiums, it just died out.
That's right.
And what God birthed in us at that particular point was, you know, that it was time. What is the next step after the stadiums? And if you mm-hmm. go look at our history,
mm-hmm.
our history started with next step. And it was right. it wasn't just an idea. It was like, what's the next step after the stadium? Because these men were alive, you know, and they went back to sleep, and they got mm-hmm. back seduced again. They went back to where they were when they were dead. They came out. They came alive in the stadiums and the small groups, and they went back in the dust. So what was the problem? And then we went through a process of repentance where we went into the wilderness to repent for the turning the hearts of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers, and God moved mightily. We finished that aspect of it. And then we went with the traditional model of what we've seen happen, and all we realized that is what's producing the death. And we had right. to stop that. Then God called us out to begin
to birth, you know, what we're doing today, understanding that God wants his church back. And I think about this. Reverend Billy Graham worked really hard. I mean, they would start probably a year, 9 months in advance to focus mm-hmm. and fill one particular stadium. And right. he would go in there, the stadium, and everybody worked so hard to bring whoever to come into that stadium and fill those seats to be able to preach the gospel to them once. Think about it. When he preached once, that all of a sudden people would find God. People would get saved. And they, and he transformed a lot of our nation and our presidents and all the things because he just preached the gospel one stadium at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about this. You think about how very specifically that here we are today.
Right.
What we're finding out that God's called us to stadiums. We've seen the stadiums filled with people. We've seen them filled with people all across the nation. We've seen them. We've seen them crying out to God, and we've seen this taking place. But what's going to happen first, like the groundwork happened to Reverend Billy Graham when he began mm-hmm. to work and do what was going on. He would begin to do the work, and then the stadium would be filled to preach the gospel once. But what we found out is this, in VFN Radio, based on what we're understanding at this present point, that when we share with over the 900 million people that are available right now and they're connected in the social media atmosphere, there's 1/6 of the world's population, that if we share with them VFN TV and the VFN radio program, that out of every dollar that we use to share it with them, one of them comes and sits in our virtual stadium. And they don't come, and they like us on Facebook, mm-hmm. or they connect to us and download our app, but they like us. And so $1 produces someone sitting in that seat based on what we presently see. Where, think about it. So, and with Reverend Billy Graham, who's did an awesome thing for the Lord, you know, he preached once to him. But with VFN TV and the data radio program, when you sit in our virtual stadium, when you sit and listen, and you have your VFN TV app, you have your VFN radio, you have Facebook, you have the VFN Torch. I mean, it's just, you're just every day the gospel is coming to everybody who sits in our stadium. When you help fill that stadium, that virtual stadium, for $1 per person, it looks like,
wow.
Think about it. I mean, if you just write $10 a month, you can fill 10 more seats in this virtual stadium. The probability is just huge. I mean, think about it. Even $100 a month, 100 new seats get filled a month. You have this 1,200 seats that you filled yourself all by yourself, or maybe even a dollar. We can begin to transform instantly. Think about it. I'm looking right now at a particular article on a broadcast that we had over 73,000 people. Think about that. That's a stadium of 73,000 people that heard the prophetic word over what's taking place on one particular segment. Be mm-hmm. a part of it. Let's turn the heart of this nation, and we can turn the heart of this nation by filling this virtual stadium. And if we'll fill this virtual stadium, this is what I believe. We'll fill stadiums all around this nation, but they first have to be filled, and the gospel has to be sown into their hearts now. How can you do that? Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. Click on fill the stadium now, and maybe it's $1 a month. Maybe it's $2 a month. Maybe it's $100 a month. By doing that, you fill the virtual stadium, and we can preach the gospel every single day to them, where Reverend Billy Graham only preached it once. And look at the return. We can turn the heart of this nation. Do it now. Go to VFNTV.com and click on giving. We're going to be talking in the extra hour more about remembering the wonders of the Lord, the outpouring that took place, our personal experiences that took place at 3100 West DeSoto Street in Pensacola, Florida, at Brownsville Assembly of God, that was being pastored at the time by Brother John Kilpatrick. Our own personal experiences. We each could write our own book about things that happened. We're focusing on really what happened there. You know, what happened there, because the it's like a ripple effect. It just changed our lives. It just changed so many different things. And you're listening today to a byproduct of a transformed lives that began, you know, there at 3100 West DeSoto Street. And just totally, totally amazing. I do want to share, as we're coming close to the end of the first hour, don't forget to join us in the extra hour for more of those stories of what took place in the power of God. The wisdom moment. Today's wisdom moment is coming from Proverbs 20. Chapter 20, verse 4. We didn't get a chance to share this yesterday. They want to be able to share this with you. These wisdom moments are very important. Even in major moves and outpourings of God,
it's amazing when there's a lack of wisdom, how the awesomeness of God and his power, what's taking place, can just be wasted. The opportunity could be wasted in the lifetime of the opportunity. And so wisdom is not something that's like, okay, I think next year I think I'll get wisdom.
Right.
It's like we need wisdom every day and every decision, every day. And this is so important because so many people say, you know, I want this to happen in my life, these testimonies that we're sharing. Well, it can, but listen to this. Listen to today's wisdom moment from Proverbs 20, chapter 20, verse 4. A sluggard does not plow in season, so at harvest time he looks but finds nothing. Let me say that again. Proverbs 20, verse 4. A sluggard does not plow in season, so at harvest time he looks and he finds nothing. It's so important. I mean, look, use the analogy of a farmer here. Analogy of a farmer is what he's talking about. It's understanding that a farmer has to have a vision. He has to know what he's looking for. He wants to see a field of corn. He wants to see a field of beans. He wants to see, you know, a field of whatever he's growing. He has to see that ahead of time, and then he has to know what it's going to take to be able to bring that to pass. And then he has to go find a piece of ground somewhere. And the piece of ground, he's got to do something to it. And what he has to do to it, and the seemingly how it's going to look, it won't look like anything like it's going to look. But he has to have a vision that if he'll work this ground, if he will plow this ground and work the ground and plant the seed, that eventually that when the harvest comes, he's actually going to have a harvest. So many people, you know, they want good things in their life. They want to see, you know, God moving in their ministry. They want to see just powerful things, relational things, whatever, but they just want it.
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand, you know, you're not going to have it. You're going to look and see nothing if you did not plow the field. You know, it's the kingdom of God is all about seed time, and harvest will not end in this age. Jesus will not. This is how it's going to be. I mean, you're going to have to understand. You're going to have to work it, plow it, plant it, believe it, water it, pray, and believe God to cause it to grow. And we'll be talking more about that in the extra hour. So a farmer has to be able to have a vision for what he or she would like to harvest from their soil. But they understand that if they want to have a fruitful season, they're going to have a season of preparing the soil. I mean, you don't see any corn.
Mm-hmm.
You're not seeing anything. You're seeing a whole bunch of dirt, and you're having to bust it all up. And so many people, you know, that want to do something for God, they don't understand this. And so when they're moving and planting seed, they just think, I don't know what the problem is. And, you know, it's just so difficult. That's called hard soil, sir.
That's right.
And you got to keep, you know, what's that?
Takes a little effort.
It takes effort. It takes energy because you're going to have to, you know, break up the hard soil of people's hearts. And they have to plow the soil. And that's why we have VFN radio going out around the world now and VFN TV, because we just want to keep continually sowing the seed in the hearts of men. And it gets softer and softer and softer, or maybe calamity happens and it breaks up your soil, and all of a sudden all that seed just falls into your heart. And they have to plow the soil and break up the hard ground. They have to plant the seed that will grow into the harvest that they're seeking. They have to plant enough seed to make sure that there's a harvest, because not every seed is going to land on the right kind of land, and the soil's not going to produce the right kind of stuff. Right. They have to weed the field. They have to pray that God would bring rain on the field. We have a lot of watering systems today, but that was not always. It's just a recent thing in all of the thousands of years around. And then after the seed has grown, first you have the stem, then you have the blade, then you have the kernel, and you have the fruit. I mean, there's a process to this whole thing. And so it's patience, you know, faith and patience. And they understand that. But this entitlement mentality, and this, it just, I want it because I exist. You know, I want a harvest because. And it's like, can you get a little deeper than that? Well, you owe me because I owe you because. And because this farmer prepared his field by plowing it in the season and planting it, when the harvest time comes, he'll look and he'll see a harvest. I mean, it's just how it works. I mean, God's not going to hold back that. I mean, you'll see the harvest. He'll see the harvest.
Mm-hmm.
But if he or she is a sluggard, which is a lazy person, they say, oh, it's just too hard, and I don't want to go there and plant, and it's too dangerous out there. There's like snakes in the dirt, lions, tigers, and bears. Oh, no. Oh, I'll have to leave not work as many hours at work, and I won't be able to afford the extra clothes I like buying, or I mean, all these excuses, you know, of not wanting to go out in the field. But yet they sit waiting patiently going, not patiently, impatiently going, where's my harvest? Where's my harvest? And it's like, I don't know where yours is at. I don't know where yours is at, but you know, the man and the woman, you're looking across America right now where a lot of people have worked very hard to be able to establish a company, to be able to patiently work and plant seed and pray and water over a period of time as ministries and things that are happening, that you're going to have to begin the same process as you and God. You know, what are you going to do? If you want to have a successful career, for example, in your life, you're going to have to plow the ground of your heart and mind for the knowledge and wisdom that you're going to need in your field of work. So when the harvest season comes, you'll have a paycheck, a career. Cool. You know what
Imagine
I'm saying?
That.
You'll actually, and, you know, and part of plowing the soil of knowledge for your heart and mind is getting the knowledge of God in addition to your college. But see, it's not knowledge alone, because, you know, faith without works is dead. Get out there and become an intern for a place that you want to work. Go out there and work for free. Go out there and meet them and serve them. And I mean, if they say, no, you know, you can't work here, we're not going to take interns, you know, be there at the coffee shop where they get coffee and get a job there and look at them every day and say, I want this job. I want this job. I want this job. And wash their car, you know, bring, just let them know that
get happy, get up.
Yeah, they understand that you're a person that says that I'm not just getting an education, but I am plowing the field. I want this career. I want to work here. And people that have their own companies, that's what they do, by the way. They're relentless. They're relentless, and they're entrepreneurs. And that's what actually built this country, was entrepreneurs that are willing to go west when there was no west. And everything, you know, west of the Mississippi, it's amazing, you know, that they made a trail where there was none. They began to build houses where there was only trees. They began to, you know, raise cattle and plant things. And I mean, look at it. We became the breadbasket. Everything that we grew practically was west of the Mississippi. And we became the breadbasket of the world. Why? Because they understood this principle. But all of a sudden, it's like we have this sluggard spirit everywhere. I mean, including the church. It's like, just give it to me. Where do I go where somebody's going to lay hands on me? It's just going to happen.
Right.
I'll lay hands on you. Anyway, so if you want to have fruit in your ministry to the Lord, which Jesus calls us all to have, you're going to have to plow the ground of people's hearts by loving them and sowing the seed in the soil of their heart. And the seed is the word of God. For example, beginning to plow a field of ministry that God's entrusted to you. Maybe it's your neighborhood. Maybe it's friends. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's a Luke 10 walk that we talk about as Jesus sends out his disciples. And you're just, you know, somebody goes out and says, well, nothing happened. You got a seed phase, dude. You got a seed phase. You know, is it going to be a seed counseling phase and a water counseling phase? And then you're not God phase. Only God causes the girl. We're going to talk about that in the extra hour. And it's like, come on. And it's like, oh my goodness. You start finding, it's like, that's all about me. It's pride. This whole thing's been, I've been really trying to build my kingdom and call it yours.
Wow.
And we're going to talk about that in the extra hour. And it's not as hard as religious made it out to be when you find out that you're not God and he is. And just because you have a crowd or herd does not necessarily mean it's right. But if we just expect a harvest in season, but we never plow, and we just kind of laze around and do what we want to and just go after the lust of our flesh, and I just want to watch some TV, or, you know, I don't want to think. I just want to sit there and whatever, stare at the wall or do some, you know, hobby thing. I mean, you're just not going to have one. The thing about plowing season is you got to have a vision for what you want. You have to know where you're going. Without a vision, you perish. And vision and wisdom is your motivator. A vision for the harvest season and wisdom and understanding on how to actually work and plow the situation to be able to produce the harvest you want. Jesus explained the kingdom of God exactly how the farmer works, exactly just like that. Listen, very simple. Today's wisdom is, moment wisdom is, Proverbs 24. A sluggard does not plow in season, so at harvest time he looks but finds nothing.
Well, we're coming to the end of the first hour. We had such a wonderful time. Don't forget to catch us in the extra hour beginning in just a moment. For those that are leaving us, you can catch us at VFNTV.com or catch the second half, the extra hour, on your mobile device, your iPhone, your Android, and all those wonderful places at VFNTV.com. You're listening to VFN Radio. For those who are sticking with us, we'll see you on the other side. Taking VFN Radio and VFN TV anywhere you want to go, Wi-Fi or no-fi. Why? Because of the podcast. We have podcasting available for you right now. What happens with podcasts, you go to VFNTV.com, click on the podcast, choose the source of podcast that you want to receive it in based on your particular device, computer or mobile device, and realize it just automatically will do what you set it up to do. It will download it while you're having lunch. It'll download it while you're at work. And then when you're driving anywhere in the world, flying anywhere in the world, even when you're on an airline, they say turn off all these mobile phones. You still can actually listen to what's already on your playlist, which would be downloaded programs and highlights from VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com and get the podcast today. I think about Gideon. You know, God gave Gideon a torch. A torch and a sword. That's it. And 300 men to be able to deliver an entire nation. But what was it? It was based on a revelation, a word from God, a now word, a conversation from God that Gideon believed and carried it out. Do you know what we have? We have what's called the VFN torch. You get to it by going to VFNTV.com. And what we feel that we try to share, the conversation we're having with our listeners, we really try to seek the heart of God, and we share it. But on the VFN Torch, we have segments of those conversations, those programs, and the programs themselves. First hour, the extra hour, plus different programs and videos and more content that you can't see video on the radio, but you can see it at the VFN Torch. You got to go there. You have get right to prophetic words, wisdom moments, good medicine, which is, you know, a merry heart. It's like good medicine, all the little humor moments that are there, original intent of the nation, original intent of the church, and so much more is available. You got to see it. You can actually subscribe to it right on the VFN Torch. Go to VFNTV.com and click on VFN Torch. Listen, I'm telling you, there's nothing more beautiful than family. I know you may have had some difficult experiences in your natural family. A family reunion might put chills up your spine. But listen, the family of God is not like that. When you find out that you get around a family who honors their father, who honors Father God, who have in common their loyalty to Jesus Christ and a desire to follow his ways, there's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. Listen, Vine Fellowship Network is a network of abiding churches. You may have tried everything, but it's time just to be. It's time to be the church. Maybe that's for you. Maybe you're ready to take the step and again say, you know what? I believe that I can be family, the family of God, through the blood of Jesus Christ. Maybe that's for you. Go to VineFellowshipNetwork.org. VineFellowshipNetwork.org, where we're loving God, loving others, and leading others to do the same.